You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Thank you for your constant support. You help keep independent community radio alive.
Jones, and you are indeed listening to Tell Us a Tale, where Jen Hoffman and I are going to pull out a few of our favorite bear tales, starting with a classic from the great Robert McCloskey called Blueberries for Sale. You know Robert McCloskey, he did the Caldecott-winning Make Way for Ducklings, and that's published by Viking. And actually helping me out in this story are two young friends from a local private school here in the Central Virginia area.
One day, Little Sal went with her mother to Blueberry Hill to pick blueberries. Little Sal brought along her small tin pail, and her mother brought along her large tin pail to put berries in.
"We will take our berries home and can them,"
said her mother.
"Then we will have food for the winter."
Little Sal picked three berries and dropped them in her little tin pail.
Ka-plink, ka-plank, ka-plunk.
She picked three more berries and ate them. Then she picked more berries and dropped one in the pail.
Ka-plunk.
And the rest she ate. Then Little Sal ate all four blueberries out of her pail. Her mother walked slowly through the bushes, picking blueberries as she went and putting them in her pail. Little Sal struggled along behind, picking blueberries and eating every single one. Little Sal hurried ahead and dropped a blueberry in her mother's pail. It didn't sound,
ka-plink,
because the bottom of the pail was already covered with berries. She reached down inside to get her berry back. Though she really didn't mean to, she pulled out a large handful, because there were so many blueberries right up close to the one she had put in. Her mother stopped picking and said,
"Now, Sal, you run along and pick your own berries. Mother wants to take her berries home and can them for next winter."
Her mother went back to her picking, but Little Sal, because her feet were tired of standing and walking, sat down in the middle of a large clump of bushes and ate blueberries. On the other side of Blueberry Hill, Little Bear came with his mother to eat blueberries.
Little Bear,
she said,
eat lots of berries and grow big and fat. We must store up food for the long, cold winter.
Little Bear followed behind his mother as she walked slowly through the bushes eating berries. Little Bear stopped now and then to eat berries. Then he had to hustle along to catch up. Because his feet were tired of hustling, he picked out a large clump of bushes and sat down right in the middle and ate blueberries. Over on the other side of the hill, Little Sal ate all of the berries she could reach from where she was sitting. Then she started out to find her mother. She heard a noise from around a rock and thought,
"That is my mother walking along."
But it was a mother crow and her children, and they stopped eating berries and flew away saying,
"Caw!
Then she heard another noise in the bushes and thought,
"That is surely my mother, and I will go that way."
But it was Little Bear's mother instead. She was tramping along eating berries and thinking about storing up food for the winter. Little Sal tramped right along behind. By this time, Little Bear had eaten all the berries he could reach without moving from his clump of bushes. Then he hustled off to catch up with his mother. He hunted and hunted, but his mother was nowhere to be seen. He heard a noise from over a stump and thought,
"That is my mother walking along."
But it was a mother partridge and her children. They stopped eating berries and hurried away. Then he heard a noise in the bushes and thought,
"That is surely my mother. I will hustle that way."
But it was Little Sal's mother instead. She was walking along, picking berries, and thinking about canning them for next winter. Little Bear hustled right along behind. Little Bear and Little Sal's mother, and Little Sal and Little Bear's mother were all mixed up with each other among the blueberries on Blueberry Hill. Little Bear's mother heard Sal walking along behind and thought it was Little Bear, and she said,
"Little Bear, eat all you can possibly hold."
Little Sal said nothing. She picked three berries and dropped them in her small tin pail. Little Bear's mother turned around to see what on earth could make a noise like.
Ka-plunk.
She cried, choking on a mouthful of berries.
"This is not my child. Where is Little Bear?"
She took one good look and backed away. She was old enough to be shy of people, even a very small person like Little Sal. Then she turned around and walked off very fast to hunt for Little Bear. Little Sal's mother heard Little Bear tramping along behind and thought it was Little Sal. She kept right on picking and thinking about canning blueberries for next winter. Little Bear padded up and peeked into her pail. Of course, he only wanted to taste a few of what was inside, but there were so many, and they were so close together that he tasted a tremendous mouthful by mistake.
"No, Sal,"
said Little Sal's mother without turning around.
"You run along and pick your own berries. Mother wants to can these for next winter."
Little Bear tasted another tremendous mouthful and almost spilled the entire pail of blueberries. Little Sal's mother turned around and gasped.
"My goodness, you are not Little Sal. Where, oh, where is my child?"
Little Bear just sat munching and munching and swallowing and licking his lips. Little Sal's mother slowly backed away. She was old enough to be shy of bears, even very small bears like Little Bear. Then she turned and walked away quickly to look for Little Sal. She hadn't gone very far before she heard a
ka-plink, ka-plank. Ka-plunk.
She knew just what made that kind of a noise. Little Bear's mother had not hunted very long before she heard a hustling sound that stopped now and then to munch and swallow. She knew just what made that kind of a noise. Little Bear and his mother went home down one side of Blueberry Hill, eating blueberries all the way and full of food stored up for next winter. And Little Sal and her mother went down the other side of Blueberry Hill, picking berries all the way, and drove home with food to can for next winter. A whole pail of blueberries and three more besides.
Come on.
the album Every Child Deserves a Lifetime to benefit the Elizabeth Glazer Pediatric AIDS Foundation, that was Bette Midler singing Blueberry Pie. You're listening to Tell Us a Tale.
Live from Burnaby.
We are telling you a couple of bear tales in this half hour, and the next one is a fractured fairy tale called Goldilocks Returns, written by Lisa Campbell Ernst, and that's published by Simon and Schuster.
As a child, she was known as Goldilocks, and she was very, very naughty indeed. Her favorite hobby was snooping in houses where no one was at home, until, of course, all that dreadful trouble that she had with the bears. Then Goldilocks grew up, and the older she got, the worse she felt about her horrid behavior. She shortened her name, and she pinned up her curls so no one would recognize her. Goldie opened a shop to help people protect themselves against snoops. But no matter how she tried to leave her life of crime behind, it haunted her day and night. She had nightmares about bears. She cried at the mere sight of a teddy bear. Her customers even began to look like bears.
"Oh, I can't take it any longer. It's time I set things right. I know it's been over 50 years, but I can't stop thinking about those bears."
Early one morning, Goldie loaded up her truck, turned her shop sign to closed, and zoomed off toward the deep, dark woods. Well, at that very moment, the three bears, whom she had scared out of their wits years before, were sitting down to breakfast. They were Papa Bear and Mama Bear and their son, who, though he had not been a baby for over 50 years, he still went by the name Baby Bear. Due to the fright brought on by Goldilocks, he still had a wee little voice.
Mama.
Their breakfast, as usual, was porridge, and as it had been every day since any of them could remember, it was much too hot to eat.
Grab your hats. Let's get out of here.
And the three unsuspecting bears left for their daily walk. Well, no sooner had the bears left than Goldie screeched to a stop in front of their cozy cottage.
"Oh, my, it hasn't changed a bit."
Strapping her tool belt on, Goldie walked to the door and knocked. A smile crept across her face as she realized the bears, again, were not at home. She walked right in.
"Oh, no luck. The same problem. I'll fix that. I've got my drill and my screwdriver. Okay, here, one lock here, and another here, and a padlock, a double bolt. My super secret anti-snoop lock, it'll keep out anybody. And I only use this in the most serious cases. Won't they be absolutely delighted?"
Well, next Goldie headed for the kitchen, and there sat the three bowls of porridge.
"Oh, goodness, it's that same goop as before. I think I'm going to empty all of that garbage into the sink. They won't have to eat this nasty, tasty stuff anymore. I think I'm going to give them some of my rutabaga breakfast bars and some celery juice. I think they'd like that quite a lot."
Well, Goldie stocked the cabinets with the rutabaga breakfast bars and celery juice enough to last for months. And while she was at it, she threw away any food she thought was unhealthy or she didn't like herself.
"Now, to spruce this place up a bit. Oh, I know just what I'm going to do. I've got some fabric and I've got my staple gun here. Oh, look at this. Oh, this is wonderful."
And the results were simply stunning. Well, feeling better, Goldilocks burst into the living room.
"Egads, that baby bear, he made a rocking house, a rocking chair, actually. From this broken chair, I'm going to fix that. And no, I'm not going to let them leave anything like it was. This chair is still too soft, and this one's too hard." And
what she did was she took stuffing out of one and put it into the other until it was just as she liked it. She hung hoity-toity drapes and she scattered pillows and covered all the furniture with shiny plastic covers.
Oh, this is just wonderful. I'm a regular Martha Stewart, aren't I? Yes. Oh, boy, I should have my own show, I think.
Well, Goldie raced up the stairs to the Three Bears' bedroom.
Goodness gracious, it's just as I remembered. This bed is too hard, and this bed is too soft.
And before you could say Rip Van Winkle, she had adjusted the stuffings to her finicky liking. Goldie then sprayed her favorite Ravishing Roses perfume in the air and tied bouquets of plastic flowers around the room for a back-to-nature look.
It's glorious, just glorious. The bears will be so grateful. They'll thank me and forgive me for those horrible things I did years ago.
And suddenly, Goldie was exhausted. And once again, Baby Bear's bed was just right. Before she knew it, Goldie had drifted off to her most peaceful sleep in 50 years. Well, the bears, meanwhile, were finally returning home from their walk, and seeing the truck, they began to worry. They hadn't had much luck with visitors in the past.
What? What's going on? Who put locks on the doors?
Oh my gosh! Oh my heavens! Look, Mommy and Daddy!
With jaws dropping and eyes popping, the two older bears did just that. Papa Bear snarled at the sight of the table and bellowed in his big, deep voice.
Someone has taken my porridge!
Someone has taken my porridge, too!
Oh, somebody's taken my porridge, and they threw it all away!
Well, memory told the bears to race to the living room, which they did, and it was a shocking sight. Papa Bear's knees buckled, and he fell into his now poofy chair.
Someone has been fooling with my chair.
And mine is now hard as a rock. Someone has been fooling with my chair, too.
Someone's been fooling with my chair, and they put it back together. I want my hobby horse back.
All three bears ran helter-skelter up the stairs.
P.U., what's that smell, baby?
Oh, I don't know. What is it?
It's Ravishing Roses. Look at the empty bottle.
Well, the two older bears didn't even check their beds. They knew just where to look, and what they saw made their fur stand on end.
Oh, no. She's back. Someone's slipping in my bed, and here she is again.
And at that moment, Goldie's eyes popped open.
Oh, boy, you're home. How wonderful. Come here, you. And you, let me give you a hug. You're so cute. Oh, you're lovely. Look at what I've done for you.
The shocked bears opened their mouths to protest, but Goldie raced on and on.
Now, don't thank me, of course. I know you're very grateful, but after all, I was the one who caused the trouble to begin with. Of course, I've more than made up for that. Naturally, I fixed a few things around the house, and I got rid of that nasty porridge that you've all been eating. You'll simply love the rutabaga breakfast bars. They're fat-free. So you shouldn't have any trouble trying to lose weight, Papa Bear, in case you were thinking about it.
Well, a growl began to grow in Papa Bear's throat, but before he could get it out, Goldie tossed him the keys to her fancy locks, hugged them all again, climbed in her truck, and she was off.
Wait!
Come back, you!
But it did no good, and as her truck rounded a curve in the road, the bear saw a flash of gold. Goldie, smiling, unpinned her curls and shook them out in the breeze. The dazed bears slowly turned back to their cottage, and they moved awkwardly about their fancy schmancy house. They couldn't eat. They couldn't get comfortable in their chairs, and so finally, they went to bed. But nobody slept a wink. The next morning, the three exhausted bears sat at the kitchen table, miserably staring at their rutabaga breakfast bars and their celery juice.
Oh, well, maybe we should go for a walk, Papa Bear. What do you think?
Nothing else to do. I don't need this stuff.
Oh, boy.
So the three bears set off through the woods, relieved to be out of their house. But just then, Baby Bear spied something through the trees. It was a very mischievous-looking little girl, skipping along the path that led straight to their cottage.
Oh, no, not again. We didn't lock the door. Quick, stop her. She might eat her food. She might mess up the fancy things. She might break my chair again.
The bears began to run after the girl, but then they suddenly stopped.
Oh, eat the food?
Mess up the fancy things.
Break my chair.
And very slowly, they all smiled, and then turning around, the bears happily continued on their walk.
If you go out in the woods today, be sure for a big surprise. If you go out in the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Picnic time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely day today. Watch them catch them unaware and see the picnic on their holiday. See them gaily gad about. They love to play and shout. They never have any care. At 6 o'clock, their mummies and daddies will take them home to bed because they're tired little teddy bears.
Off Trout Fishing in America's album Big Trouble, that was their rendition of the traditional tune Teddy Bear's Picnic. Well, to close out this half hour, I figured we should listen to a slightly more traditionally arranged version, this time from Jerry Garcia and David Grisman's album Not for Kids Only. So having said that, we'll see you again soon, right here on Tell Us a Tale.
To the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down to the woods today, you better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Every teddy bear who's been good is sure of a treat today. There's lots of marvelous things to eat and wonderful games to play. Beneath the trees, where nobody sees, they'll hide and seek as long as they please, 'cause that's the way the teddy bears have their picnic. Picnic time for teddy bears. The little teddy bears are having a lovely time today. Watch them, catch them unawares, and see them picnic on their holiday. See them gaily gad about. They love to play and shout. They never have any cares. At 6 o'clock, their mommies and daddies will take them home to bed because they're tired little teddy bears. Thank you. the woods today. You better not go alone. It's lovely down in the woods today, but safer to stay at home. For every bear that ever there was will gather there together, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. Today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic.
Northeastern Australia is home to a rainforest unique in the world. It's known as wet sclerophyll forest. And ecologically speaking, it's incredibly diverse. The eastern whipbird hangs out in the dense understory. It's dark, crested, 10 inches long, and more often heard than seen. Like its neighbor, the spotted catbird, that's nearly a foot long and emerald green with white spots. Easier to lay eyes on is the large pigeon-like Wampu fruit dove, perching high in a tree, gulping down small fruits. Feathered in a stunning combination of green, purple, and yellow, this bird is clearly named for its voice. While pig-like grunting on the forest floor tells us we're in the company of the largest bird on the continent, the southern cassowary. On average, the female weighs 130 pounds and stands around 5 feet tall, looking like a giant, lush, black hairpiece on thick legs.